Intros, that's my favorite intro that we have for the media so far. Just the beat, I think it's a little long, but still great. This is your boy Lick. I am on the show PTD with Pat, Freak, Joker, and I Rockefeller. How are you guys doing today?
All good, buddy.
Doing well. Yourself?
Man, I had said it before the show, but it's a Tuesday and it feels like it's a Thursday. So I'm going to need lots of caffeine this week and good weather. We're going to jump right into this big master week. We are heading into block two this weekend already. We got some big games that have already happened in week one and two. I'm just going to start it off right away. We are 3 days into block one. What games have caught your eye? Maybe an upset, close games you didn't expect to be close, or big losses. Pat, what's caught your eye at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to King Salty over there at South Bama. Played a really tight game with one of our better owners in the league, Central Michigan, and Chip, who was on the show on Saturday, the game day show, who was a great guest. Salty got into my scheduling thread before the season and said, hey, if you're looking for a game, even though it may be, quote-unquote, an easy win, I'm happy to do it. And here I am thinking he was trying to reel me in. Because keeping it real tight with Chip, 30-28, and then he got a big win over North Texas, so I wanted to give him his flowers. That's the score that really surprised me. I'll steal a lower, major, mid-major, whatever you want to call him, discussion there, is that was the most surprising score that came out of the weekend for me.
And what about you? Yeah, Freak, what caught your eye this weekend?
I have two games that caught my eye. One game that caught my eye was a top 25 upset. BYU happened to find its way to beat North Carolina 49-42. Yet North Carolina had 400 total yards of offense more than him. Another one would be the double overtime game with Utah and Indiana.
Yeah, that Utah-Indiana game for sure was one. I think a lot of viewers are watching that game. Big decision by Phoney there in overtime to go for two, and just came up a little bit short. When I was looking at some of the games that jumped out to me, obviously two big G5 favorites going down in week one with San Diego State and James Madison both losing. And then the other big game that I noticed that not many people brought attention to, but Nidler getting it done against Texas A&M, and still he threw five interceptions in that game, was still able to squeak it out. So a big win for Penn State to start off the year.
I had that game on my list too.
Yeah, just stole my G5 options. James Madison going down was a big one. The Utah game being close. I would say Phoney at Indiana was involved in two of them, being the close loss to Utah and then knocking off the G5 darling San Diego State in a surprisingly low-scoring game. I guess one other call-out, I guess, is Arky State beating UCLA. It's always a good time when the G5 takes on a Power Four and squeaks out the win. So shout-out to Football Kelly there with the Red Wolves.
Did you guys actually happen to see the Sam Houston State North Texas game where Sam Houston State converted the 4th and 16 to go for the win at the end of the game?
I missed that, but I read about it in the live chat for sure. What play did he run to get all, to convert?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I saw the hype in the live chat. I was at work and happened to take my eye off the screen, and the next thing I see is him scoring.
Block in the chat says it was a 5 wide pass, and he ended up scrambling for the first down.
I was going to say running back draw for funsies, but close enough.
You know, another interesting score, and I had this written down in my notes, but I'm so unorganized sometimes. I looked under the wrong tab, and now I've got it. Northwestern, I believe, is a newer owner, if I'm not mistaken, beat Metro, who is at South Carolina. For
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, beat him 31-21. Kind of, you know, the Wildcats, I'm sure, are not the easiest team to use. And you have a guy who made the CFP with South Carolina a couple seasons ago and knocked off a lot of big dogs. So as far as like a coach-on-coach thing, that would be an upset, I would think. But maybe not. When you have a name like Teddy Roosevelt, you got to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, week one had a ton of good matchups, lots of good matchups coming up again in the next block. Freak, which team outside of the top 25 do you think is going to be the biggest riser this coming week in the polls and may be able to break into the top 25 this week?
Biggest riser, unfortunately, I'm going to go with BYU again because he has one of the, I think, the only top 25 win at the very moment over a, or non-top 25 win over a top 25 team. However, I also see that possibly Utah may jump a couple spots with the quality win over Indiana as well. So as one team that's outside the top 25 and another one that's in that may make a decent jump.
Yeah, I'm going to say, depending on what poll you're looking at, I'm going to say Colorado is probably going to get back on a lot of people's radars and get back into the rankings. Obviously, in the media, they're ranked. In the coaches' poll, they're not. But I can see them maybe even getting into the top 20, leapfrogging quite a bit of people. They had a big win over Kentucky. Well, I think it was 48-14. So look for Colorado to move pretty good in the top 25.
Yeah, but not many top 25 teams losing. I'm not sure if anybody's going to kind of jump and crack into the top 25, honestly. But
it's all about being played.
Right, I like Colorado. I like Colorado moving up for sure. Because, I mean, at this point, UNC is the only top 25 team with a loss, period, thus far. And I guess we'll see how the coaches feel about folks that may or may not have played a game thus far that could have a play in it. A G5 team I want to keep an eye on for now would probably be Marshall. I know they won pretty convincingly. They probably won't get in the top 25 this block, but I'd like to keep an eye on them and see what they're doing because Lingus is out there launching the ball all over creation.
Joker brought up Nidler earlier. I know he's at 23, so he's obviously going to move up because a win against an SEC team. You know, survive in advance. Joker said he threw five picks, still won the game. So he'll ascend in the standings. And then I'm looking forward even a few more weeks than maybe blocks two and three. And I'm going to give Big Red a little love. Iowa has a chance with their schedule. He played Jiggy, I think it was 7-7 at halftime, with a team that is pretty offensively challenged. So once he gets into Big Ten play, he's going to have a chance to play Ohio State, Wisconsin. And I think at some point he will be the guy outside of the top 25 that late in the season will probably rise and end up a top 15 type team. That's my hot take for the day as far as unranked. But if you guys want to continue talking about the North Carolina BYU game, please continue. It feels good. Feels great. Yeah.
Jump right into the next topic here, Joker. I'd like to know which team you think will have the worst top 25 fall from their block one performance, or is it just going to be too early to tell? And this could be a team you think may lose a matchup they haven't played yet.
Well, I mean, I think it's easy, Petty, but he wants to keep talking about it. So we'll keep talking about that loss. Definitely think he's going to be going backwards just a little bit, but you know, hey, he had a great win against Wisconsin. That's another team that obviously had a tough 2 weeks. Was able to squeak out the second game, but I would say North Carolina, good team. He whooped my ass in a scrimmage, so I was surprised to see BYU take him. But I think he bounces back. But definitely next one, it's going to be a few drop spots.
Appreciate it.
What about you, Freak?
Unfortunately, I feel as if it's too early to tell for a lot of these teams. There's a lot of great quality. Yes, we already know that due to one loss, you may see that Tar Heel Nation, Bill Belichick team drop out. But I also see Miami taking a few spots back, even though they lost to a solid coach in Florida. But other than that, from block one, I don't really see much of a drop just because there has been many games played. But we'll see.
I'll go out and say, I guess, depending on when it gets played, Georgia Notre Dame, the loser of that game, may take a drop again because no one in the top 25 really lost. So I say we keep an eye on that game, and then we'll see what happens to the loser of that game. They would probably drop by default if no one else in the top 25 loses.
Who are you predicting?
I want to go Notre Dame only because I didn't get to watch the game. The Georgia score against Michigan worries me. The fact that it was only a 10-point win. No offense, Freak. But I kind of lean Notre. I think Notre Dame's gonna do it.
Joker?
No. I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna agree with Notre Dame.
Pat?
I mean, yeah, fuck Notre Dame.
I believe Rain has done the scouting and is ready to beat Georgia.
Looking forward to that game big time.
How far do you guys think Miami falls with the loss to Florida?
That was my example, my ACC brethren, Miami. But it's kind of funny, right? Like, how much does someone get punished for losing to a guy who's ranked ahead of them? That's a great player, obviously. That's really the only other person on this list that I can really even see that's currently ranked falling. Out of the top 25. I've had rough takes on Dealer in the past, and he's made the playoffs, so I didn't want to stay him right away.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the swamp. You lost by like 20, but still, it's in the swamp, on the road, out of conference, scheduling to a team ranked higher than him. But I think Miami's ranked 16, so how far did they fall would be the biggest question.
Right, and to add on to that, you have 129 other owners besides us five here, and well, plus some unowned teams, but we all have our different opinions on how we look at polls, and you're going to see someone not even take a look that it was at Florida, or see that it was against a great, great coach and Big Mike as well.
Here's one team that I could see again looking maybe a little too far ahead, but you know, since the subject matter is a little light, since it's only been a few days, the block's open. OU is a great owner, right? He's a really good coach. I've had a chance to play him in other online dynasties. He's a very good player. But he is ranked 15th right now, and if there was like a line on will he end the season in the top 25 or will he not, I think it would both be minus 110, basically even odds, because he has to play at Texas, he has to play Smitty, he has to play Mizzou, he has to play at Bama, and he has to host LSU. That is potentially a 7-5 season right there. So that's a guy I see that's ranked really high right now, and my thoughts and prayers go out to him and the Sooners with that schedule.
So, Iraka, this next question is going to be for you. This may have been a sent-in question from Penguin from the audience. You get to tell us who you think the early Heisman predictions are for this season.
Like, you want me to answer that?
Yeah. Who do you have some early favorite preseason Heisman hopefuls?
Put me on the spot here. I guess that's fair. I'll abstain from mentioning Mr. Gingy just because I'll just receive a bunch of hate and I'm probably not going to win 8 games. And I should be disqualified if you ask anybody else, especially Penguin. But looking at the stats earlier, there's some ridiculous rushing totals out of Missouri right now. However, I don't know. I have to look at his schedule to see who he's going to play. Because, I mean, he did, what did he drop, 300 yards rushing on Western Michigan, which is pretty insane. But also, he has an SEC schedule, so we'll see how long that holds up. Because, like last year, old boy at Clemson, he got off to a hot start, got in the conference play, and kind of slowed down. So, he's my front runner favorite right now because that's just a ridiculous, even against a G5 opponent, that's pretty ridiculous, I must admit. That Missouri offense is playing lights out. If they can maintain that in conference play, that's hard to argue with, especially considering my schedule. I tried to have a harder schedule this year, so y'all won't hate me too much, but we'll see. I guess if I'm well, real quick, I just want to call out. I'll call out something nice for you, Petty. Your QB, Max Johnson, 778 yards already in block one, doing great. So you maintain that pace. That'll look good.
Why don't you check the red zone interception number on that one?
Hey, it's only block one. You could get it together. You never know.
As long as he avoids the interception bug.
Yeah, dude. Right. Block M's actually looking into a therapist for me that personally deals with people who have the yips in the red zone. So we're working that out right now.
All right. I mean, you're almost 50-50 on your you're almost even on your interception to TD ratio. Just calm that down.
Yeah.
In a good spot there.
We'll see. I like the Nate Noel answer from Mizzou. Gotta love Groovy being such a young kid. Comes into the ACC channel yesterday and says that his plan is having his tailback break the ACC record. Buddy, you're not in the ACC. He forgot what conference he was in, so congrats to him. But no, Nate Noel would be my early front runner, not just because of the yards he's put in, but the kid is literally, he seems to be hell-bent on doing that. So people that like to, that are into that kind of thing, I would choose. And then probably a safe and lame pick is going to be Arch Manning for me, Texas. Mm-hmm. You have one of the better owners with a really more powerful offense than he's had since we've started, which is weird to think because he's won the thing twice. But I mean, you got to imagine he's going to have a high touchdown pass to low interception ratio and has some stud receivers. So that would be my early favorite.
What about you, Joker?
I'm going to go with Dr. Bush and Marion Lukes in Central Michigan. He started the season off 161 yards on the ground and then doubled down and said that wasn't good enough, put up 357 yards on the ground. He's got 4 touchdowns already. Looking at his schedule, he's not going to play, you know, a bunch of talent across the board. And I think if he really wants to, Dr. Bush brings that one home, no problem.
And you know, Dr. Bush might get a few sim wins, so he's going to get some average, some nice average stats that he gets to compile in there. Silly little Dr. Bush.
It is always interesting with the stats, and we talked about it last year in the media, is just about how the stats can be pretty inflated and blown up in those first 4 or 5 weeks because you do play those out of conference. So you get a lot of matchups between teams that may be lower rated than the conference matchups where the teams can be a lot more even. It definitely is too early. I mean, what I think Block had stated, about 2/3 of the games had been played so far, which is not a whole lot when you're just talking about the first week. When we talk about the beginning of the season here, this is just for you guys in general. With how the draft kind of shook out and how the team, obviously seeing teams that were taken after you and being able to maybe scrimmage with different teams and stuff, and then how the out-of-conference scheduling strategy went. Pat's obviously been a big proponent about how some teams scheduled really light this year. Would you have done anything different? Rockefeller, you can actually, Joker, you can just go first. Would you have done anything different? Are you happy where you're at and happy with who you scheduled?
These guys, but home is where your heart's at, and I should have never left Huntsville. Should have been a Bearcat. I made a mistake, but we'll see how we do with South Florida.
Many distractions down there in South Florida, you know, for the student body.
For me, a lot of tail running around.
That kid.
Yeah, he must work out.
I can't. Well, my three out of conference schedules are all top 25 teams, so I'm regretting my life choices. Should have went the cupcake route. Didn't want to go the cupcake route because it's season four and, you know, the burnout is real, and I was worried about actually getting my games in. But I had a standing agreement with Nidler anyway, and Vegas was the first person to come out and ask me for an OOC, so I got that dog walking in yesterday. But it's at least I'll know I'll get my games done, even if there are ass whoopings aplenty available for me.
Yeah, the number two pick overall, I just had one team really in mind, and I practiced with them, and I played guys in scrims that all made the playoff last year, and I think I mentioned this, and I lost every single one of them, right, in the scrims. So, like, why would I take that team? So I don't know if some people don't know this. My roommate is a pro golfer, and he played at the University of North Carolina. So we have North Carolina stuff all over this place. So it just like kind of when I saw they were available, because I thought they might get kept. When I saw they were available, I wanted them two seasons ago, and they were taking one pick in front of me. So, yeah, super stoked about it. Really happy about the way I scheduled. Never played RB in a league game. Glad I did. Was a lot of fun. Bruce Bagel beat me two seasons ago, and apparently he's my kryptonite. And then I try to play a new owner every year, so I'm playing the Troy owner. Check that out. And then I've never played Triple C's either, the Maryland coach, so that'll be fun. So, yeah, super stoked with how everything turned out. And my running back is an absolute blast to play with.
Hey, Pat, before I go, how did you feel that your pick was going to be Penn State and only to find out that Nidler was supposed to keep him? How do you feel? You told me, hey, I'm taking Penn State. How do you feel?
My favorite teams to use in the game are Clemson and Penn State. When I saw Penn State was available, I couldn't believe, dude, I turned the game on and started like setting their depth chart up. I'm not even joking. And I was super bummed. Like I said, I mentally had him for about 17 minutes. And in that time, we won the Big Ten and the Natty. So congrats to us. But yeah, I was super bummed about it. But that's okay. Shit happened.
Oh, I do like the North Carolina pick.
Freak, if Michigan decides to fire you because of all your poor performances, where are you going to head?
Do you really I'm sorry. Do you really call last night a poor performance?
Yeah, where are you headed?
No. I want an opinion. Do you call last night a poor performance?
Well, loss is a loss, big dog.
Yeah.
Hey, well, yes, I mean, a loss is a loss.
At the end of the day, if I'm an athletic director and I'm Michigan, who's like the winningest program in college football, mediocre bowl seasons aren't going to cut it. And so I'm just wondering where you would head if Michigan decided to part ways with you.
If Michigan were to part ways with me, I would head either to the MAC conference and take a run at Chip, or I would head maybe go for a low power four team just due to a low win goal. But I'd probably go group of five in order to get back up to the power four.
I'm kicking in the retirement community known as the Mountain West.
Penguins.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? I'll go to Mountain West to go face IROC and the NDL vets.
There you go. Penguin said that you should probably look at a job in the WNBA.
Damn. That sounds good to me. Hey, that still means some type of money.
Do you guys think Block M just watches streams every single freak game and wears the opposite team shirt and just roots for him every single time? That's what I think.
100%.
He definitely is. But now, in regards to out of conference scheduling, I wouldn't have changed anything different. I want the challenge. I want to try to face new owners and owners in the top 25. Yes, I'm giving myself a death wish in regards to losing the team, but hey, we'll see what happens at the end of the season. There's still 7 more weeks when you count that extra week after Block 7.
Well, there you have it. Freak says he's headed to beat up Chip, or he's going to a small conference.
Freak is keeping this team. It's a promise.
Yeah, and in case anyone didn't notice, homie right now is working on getting together all-time stats. Some of that stuff is posted. I know Block posted some of the coaches' stuff in the ACC, but homie's been working all season, and then this next off-season between video games, he's going to be cleaning up the website and trying to pull some more data and stuff so that we'll start having a running clock of all-time statistics for players, seasonal, the all-time yardage, touchdowns, all that stuff. And so that's kind of exciting. Just another thing that the Wizard does behind scenes, which a lot of those things that homie does do, he'll be the first to admit they're other people's ideas, and he kind of just runs with them. And so pretty exciting stuff. I said I wasn't going to talk a lot, so I won't. Does anybody have any parting words? Joker, Freak, Pat, or Iraka?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see this SEC schedule play out early on in the season. I always know there's like a few big games like really early on. And, you know, just when you're looking at the top 25 and just see how many of them are there, it's going to be, you know, I'm ready to see how that carnage plays out.
Just the usual, get your games in, especially this season, please.
Ben, I think there's lots of momentum already in this season 4.
Agreed. For the Wolverines, I had mentioned to Block that I won't use any media points in regards to keeping the Wolverines. So if I lose them, I lose them, even if I make enough media points. Are y'all?
That's very big of you.
That is a... Freaky, you know, you started off 0-1, right?
I do.
Don't ask him about that game.
And I did play. And I did play the top team in the game.
Correct. But you took media points, you crazy man.
Right. Yeah, that's 2 or 3 points. I will risk those to give up the team.
What a charity!
Hey, I still have bonus points though.
Next block, we got. Got a couple of good games. I was taking a look, two that just popped out right away.
Got them out.
USC, Miami, and with Miami and San Diego State. Both those teams are going to need a win. Anybody else see any games in the next block that are about to pop up, or any of the beefy cup wins? I noticed
Michigan, USC,
Florida State, Boise State.
When he said Michigan USC, Tim should have used the soundboard and put the sound of crickets when he put that one out there.
Oof.
I'm sorry. That was rude. SEC commish, what's the first big SEC clash? Give it to
us. Man, I'd have to go look. I think it's not this block. There's no real big games this next block in the SEC. I mean, Kentucky and Georgia play each other, but watching Kentucky last week play, I don't know that that's going to be much of a game against Georgia, and it's in Georgia. And so, so the SEC should really start to heat up in block 3, where we start seeing Texas and Tennessee and stuff start playing the better opponents in the conference.
Tim, when do you think the league, and myself included, is going to start to maybe give DK a little pressure? This guy wins every game that everyone says he's going to lose. Like, it's crazy. Like, when he played, watch him beat Notre Dame. Everyone on the show picked Notre Dame.
Well, I think part of it.
Everyone, he's going to win the game, guaranteed.
And in here, too.
I think part of it, though, is that a lot of us members, when I say we, I mean me included, we kind of forget that he's had that team for as long as he has. And so he knows some of the ins and outs. He rotates running backs in here and there, depending on what he does. A lot of guys know what he does. They go in to stop it, and they still have trouble doing it. And so I think this year's going to be a different story. I'm really riding the horse that Georgia's going to have a difficult year this year. He did go out and schedule very difficult in non-conference schedule. We know that, waiting for this Notre Dame game. And so, man, I mean, cheers to him. Hopefully he proves us all wrong again and does really well with a really tough schedule this year and kind of humbles us all.
Is part of it because he runs so many scrims that everyone has scrimmed him and probably maybe beaten him once? So everyone's like, oh, he's beatable. That's what I think it is.
I definitely you think know? That plays into it.
Yeah, because I've beat him in a scrim before, but like then the guy goes undefeated regular season last year. So good for him. Anyway, I'm just wanted to give him props.
I'm sorry, I had to look at the chat real quick. Block M said, watching D. Kane just makes me want to stretch for some reason.
I do miss him on camera.
He's got to bring the camera back. I'll never forget how he lost to Big Mike in some game, and he just looked and he just stared at the TV for like 10 minutes and didn't move.
I like when he flipped the TV off.
Oh, that was all time when the guy scrambled for a touchdown. Yeah, and he fucking flipped the screen off. It was all time.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
Well, gentlemen,
Florida, Texas A&M. Think Texas A&M can get it done against Florida?
No.
Nah, nope.
I think Florida's going to have a pretty good year this year.
Yep. Good coaching matchup week four. Roke and Smitty are playing. That's a good one.
That'll be a good one. Yeah.
And then I also saw South Carolina and LSU. You've got like an OG NDL guy playing a last year's Natty champ. So pretty cool matchup. There was one other one I was looking at. It was towards the bottom here. Oh, Tennessee and Kansas. Jaguars is a good little player, dude. And Vegas is obviously very good, but he can be a little emotional sometimes. So if it gets early, if he gets down early, maybe something happens.
Speaking of getting a little emotional, anybody tune into? I love him, so I'm going to call him out a little bit. Into Big Red's stream against Texas.
I caught word of it. I didn't actually get to see it.
I had to text my man after the game, check in, make sure he was okay. He said, I had to go to the Mexican restaurant and get a beer to cool off.
I heard he was talking quite a bit during his stream.
My man lost it for a second. It's good.
Sometimes guys forget that even if you don't have a headset that has a mic or anything, your dang controller has a mic. I know that's happened with Pat sometimes when he gets on.
Oh, yeah, I got to mute the hell out of that thing.
For sure. How, speaking of meltdowns, the Houston Cougars last night in the second half. Heartbreaking stuff.
Lost me $1,000.
I wanted to see them win so bad.
You brought up basketball. How about the Denver Nuggets firing Mike Malone right before the playoffs?
Wait, I didn't see that.
I just got the ESPN breaking news.
Talk about underachieving, though, right? Like the Nuggets, they don't really lose anyone. They add people, and they're just kind of like there. I don't know. The WNBA is crap, though, for the most part. Most of those coaches aren't like – most of those coaches are coached by the players, right? They run their own offense, a lot of isolation, barely play any defense anymore. It's not like it was in the 90s where – they schematically coached. Sampson should just go to the NBA watching his offense in the second half last night.
I don't know enough about basketball X's and O's to comment on that. But coaching sucks, dude, for coming from one. You just get blamed for everything. Like, the players suck, coach's fault. Like, it doesn't matter. You can't avoid it. You're just the fall guy every time. Guy misses a big shot at the end of the game, should have drawn up a better play. Guy drops a pass at the end of the game, coach shouldn't have thrown, they should have ran the ball. It just doesn't matter what you do, you get blamed.
Guy attempts a 3-point shot, but decides to drop it on the floor to blow a national championship game.
How do you have two possessions at the end of the game and not even shoot once?
Homeboy went flying right by him. He would have had a wide open look, but, these are kids, man. They're 20 years old.
Well, some of them are 25. They're on like their sixth year. They got red shirt COVID.
Yeah. Well, that's why if you're 25 and you're not in the NBA, you might be playing your last, you know, college game and not making it to the next level unless you're playing 100%. In Europe. So, yeah. Well, I got to get back to work, boys.
Yep. I don't have anything else. I appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Amen. Good show. Y'all have a great day. Later, fellas.